Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to 93 Sweet FM Zone. And you know it's the Los Angeles. Later. Sweet. You know, this is the only place that you can hear from the Funkadelic to the Temptations on 93 Sweet FM. And I'm your host with the most of Rothschild, Mr. Bruce Rothschild. And you're tuned in again. Oh, I hear you asking where we've been, All around the world, and we're going to do it again. We've got the famous Tweed Cadillac. On 93 Sweet FM is on.
Diamond in the back, some new top, big in the scene.
93.3 Tweed FM. Spectacular Lowrider Oldies, R&B, and all in between.
Yo, this is Queen Latifah, bringing a song to you about a place you might live. In case you don't understand, it's called New Jack City. In case you still don't understand, I brought along the person who shoot the kick the ballistic. Come on!
For love, we'll still forever.
It'll make you steal. It'll make you kill. It could even make you ill. 93.Tweet FM. Good evening,
good evening,
ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, Mr. Lewis. How are you today, sir?
Good evening, sir. Good evening, man. I'm living lavish, man. Feeling lavish. In the comfort, man, in the zone right now, the Tweed and the Cadillacs out there. So, man, it's a beautiful thing.
It is. But we're going to chop some, man, real game up tonight. Upon my research, I like to read. I like to be knowledgeable of certain various things.
Right.
I exposed and was privy to find out that it was a plot, a blueprint to fleece America black dollars. And this was done way back in the 50s.
Okay.
The late 50s, to be exact. What I really thought was interesting about it was when you look at the late 50s, the black household were together, mother, father, 2.5 children. The jobs were there, the General Motors jobs. You know, black men were able to get good, decent jobs, were able to buy homes, were able to live the American dream. Everybody wasn't in the projects back then.
Right.
So what America decided to do was figure out a way to fleece black America out of their money. And they came up with the idea and a plan to how to do it. And upon my extensive research, what I noticed is that All of the other races got the blueprint, and they used it against us. And we were so busy trying to have things and floss on each other. This is way back then, till we didn't realize that it was such an intricate plot. That is still persistent to right now. The media played a part. The Jews played a part. The Asians played a part. The white man played a part. Everybody wanted to figure out a way to get their hand on our money.
Right.
And we made it easy for them. That's the sad part.
That's the sad part. We made it easy. Whatever was going on, we just made it easy. Especially as time went on more and more. Like you said, you're moving into them 60s and 70s, especially, I'm sure, 60s, 70s, when that, when those drugs started to become a big factor. You know what I mean? But, hey, you know, like you said, again, that was a part of the plan, too, because I understand that the drugs played a big part, but that started happening a lot when a lot of the men were going overseas to fight. We're coming back on that stuff, right? On the heroin and all of this type of stuff.
That is true.
And then it was slowly brought over here more and more.
That is true.
Especially in our community.
But when you look at it, that was a time when all of the black universities were pushing out college-educated black men from Morehouse and Spelman and Grambling and Tuskegee. I mean, those, man, we were really upward mobile, as they say. We had extra money.
Right.
And once they realized that we had that extra surplus of money, they had diabolically planned a way to get it from us. And what they figured out was we spend on wants more than we do needs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, it looks like it was a plan to destroy us. No, it wasn't. It was a plan just to exploit us. Because I know I've talked about this several other shows as well. It ain't no mystery that when the Asians and Koreans came over here, why would they come to all of the ghettos in every state and start nail shops?
Right.
Because of the wants.
Right.
To get your nails and feet done and eyelashes is not a need. Because you can do that at home yourself. Feel me? It was a want.
Wow.
So they said, well, look, if we do that, if we capitalize on them, then We could put our kids through college. They're going to be repeat customers, you know, and the ones that are getting real money, whether eat legally, they're going to be in here 2 or 3 times a week.
Right,
they turn
right.
the game on to the Koreans.
Wow.
So the Koreans say, okay,
wow.
well, let's put their name on a hat in a swap meet. Let's call it a swap meet. And then we'll get their money up in here. And you guys, we'll all go half on the rent. You do their nails. I'll sell them hats. I'll sell them fake jewelry over here. You feel me? I'll put some cheap Chinese
yeah.
food up in there. And now we get them all to come here on Saturday. Why is the slots and swap meet always full on a Saturday? Because payday is Friday.
Wow.
I mean,
right,
it's so
right.
many little things. It's so many little things that we actually kind of let it slip by us. I like fish, right? I love
right.
fish. I love red snapper. I love it. Do you realize that in L.A. and Compton, there's so many you buy, we fries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that they were selling tilapia and telling people it was red snapper?
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of fucked up to do that to people, but...
Wow.
Hey. And take food stamps, right? So, look, if we don't get... man, we don't even want your money. We'll take your food stamps because once we turn them in, that's gas. So if I give you a 5-piece
yeah.
fake red snapper dinner, I'm getting $10, and I just sold you some tilapia. And then gonna charge you extra for the hot sauce because I'm greedy like that. Feel me?
Mm. Yeah.
It's not a fucking joke on how they played us with the beauty supply houses for the girls because they know the girls gonna come in here, rain, sleet, snow. It's not a coincidence that the Indians tried to jump on the 7-Elevens. The smoke shops. Dudes want
yep.
their cigarettes. They're coming in here every
yep.
day. It's going to be constant, consistent money every day. They figured out the goal
yep.
is to take care of all of our wants, not our needs. I bet you if you looked around at every Korean business owner that's inside the Sloss and Swap Meet, they probably live in West Covina,
yeah, none of them living over there. Right.
Of course. And all their kids been put
just
through college.
Just like the
college.
Police, too. Wherever they
exactly.
They
all in Simi Valley and shit
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
They dog us.
Yep.
And look, and here come the Jews, right? Now, the Jews come into the hood. They get up all the pawn shops. They know that we're going to be
mm-hmm.
broke. We've overextended ourselves, so now I got to go pawn my ring to pay the phone bill or the light bill because I don't want my wife to know that, you know, man, I was at the First Kings 2 nights ago. You feel me? So I go to the Jews, to the pawn shop, I pawn my ring. I learned this way back in the day. Say you took a diamond ring to the pawn shop, it had 10 diamonds in it. You know that it has 10 diamonds in it. You've counted it. You've had that ring forever. You know exactly
right.
what it was. Do you know that they would take out 4 of the diamonds and replace them with some subpar diamonds, and when you come back and pay for that ring and they give it back to you, you've never known that the diamonds were actually switched. And
yeah.
if you find out, like say you want to go and sell it, and then the next pawn shop tell you, well, sir, I can't give you $2,000 for this ring because, you know, these diamonds aren't really worth nothing. You mad. You have no
right.
proof. Had no idea that the last pawn shop you took it to switched the diamonds on
you. Got you. Yeah, yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. And that's why I feel so sorry for these new cats that are out here spending $30,000, $50,000 for these chains when you probably could get... maybe a 2-ounce diamond or something, right? And cut it up into chips, sprinkle it on a charm, and charge an idiot $30,000, and those were subpar diamonds to begin with. But he
right.
don't know because he ain't never had no real diamonds to begin with. Long as it's shining a light, he don't really
right.
know. You really, really, really don't know. But it's been a plot from beginning. You can look at back in the day, all the cheap furniture stores that was in the neighborhood that would sell you stuff, you know, knowing that, well, he's probably going to default. We don't really want the money. I mean, we don't want the furniture back. But if we can get him tied up, you know, we got him. We already know that the furniture is cheap. That's why rent-a-centers popped up. Everybody strategically figured out a way to get us out of our money. For example, do you remember Daniel's Jewelry back in the day? Everybody named Mama was on there.
Yeah.
You know how many people messed up their credit by getting Daniel's Jewelry way back in the day?
Wow.
And it was cheap, low-class jewelry. But you can get something, but back to the saying, they preyed on our wants and not our needs. And that's what kind of messed us up. It really did mess us up because credit was really designed to help you. Some people utilize credit good. As long as you pay it on time, your credit status goes up. Now you can afford a car loan. You can afford housing. You feel me? And it was credit is really good if it's used correctly. It's been the American way forever and ever. But us as a people, we're just impulse buyers. If Joe Blow got it, we want it. We're not willing to save, you know, to get it. We just want it now. You know, it's like how you gonna have a Benzo and you live in an apartment? You got a $600 car note. Your priorities are completely fucked up. Completely. Yep. And it's sad. And it's real, but it's like, man, I just don't understand it. The power of our money is so deep in this world. If we got the power to sell out Popeye's chicken sandwiches, imagine that. And Popeye's ain't even owned by black people.
Right.
Feel me?
Wow.
That's the funny part about it. But we going crazy over a chicken sandwich, right? And now what they do? When it died down, now they got the fish sandwich. It ain't taking off like how they was expecting it to do. But I don't even know why the chicken sandwich took off the way it did. People standing in line.
Me neither. I still haven't even got one yet. And I'm like, damn, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I never got it, never understood it. They even said it's people that have lost their lives in fights and some dude got killed. Because he butted in line over somebody for a chicken sandwich, man. Life is a trip. It is a trip.
Yeah.
Look like we have a caller. Caller, you are live on 93.3 FM. If you hit the one, good evening.
Hey, peace and power, family. How y'all doing?
We're okay,
alrighty,
sir.
What's going on,
you,
sir?
I'm doing just fine. As you guys were, I'm just going to say, discussing the aspect from what I've just been briefly hearing from you guys of what we're going through within our day-to-day as black folks. We still find ourselves not really being able to hold, being able to be really productive, right? Within our own organic sense, you understand? With our own worldview, you understand? I have to say an African worldview because a lot of us as black folks that are successful, deemed successful via the Euro standards, you understand? We aren't ones that probably give a damn about the collective of black folks. You understand?
Right.
Those, a lot of times, the token Negroes, the Uncle Toms, the ones that marry the white women when they get on the other side. You understand? So this is a reality. And, you know, it's no wonder why a lot of our black people can't dare to say black power. We don't feel good about ourselves. This goes into talking about how we perceive ourselves within our education as what is true and what is not true. Also, as you guys are talking about now, spending. you have to be educated in knowing how to be how to be a good spender. That a lot of even with us, like with us as consumers, people didn't know. But with Jordans, when you buy Jordans, you can take those back if anything starts to tear up or starts to become defective within 2 years. But the majority of people that buy Jordans, they don't know that shit. You understand?
Right.
They could be getting free Jordans, you know, 3 times per year. You know what I'm saying? And it's very
wow.
important.
I didn't know that myself. I mean, I don't buy Jordans like that, but I didn't even know that.
Right.
Never owned a pair of Jordans in my life, and I never understood what the big deal was about that, because I know a few people.
All they do is resell the same ones. They recreate the same ones they already put out.
I know people that
people
have
be
collections.
In line to get them.
I mean, they got like 25, 30 pairs of tennis shoes. And to me, I was always brought up to, I stick with the traditionals that never go out of style. You can give me a pair of white K-Swiss, and they going to go with any outfit
right.
I got on. I
right,
don't have to keep
right,
up
yeah.
with the Joneses, and
right.
I save my money.
Yeah.
I've never owned a
I'm
pair
like
of Jordans in my life. I've never even bought one. But I don't understand how a guy could want to possess 30, 40 pairs of Jordans at, what, $300 a pop? To me, that's kind of funny. But what I kind of feel is like the art of war is to subdue your enemies without fighting. They figured out a way to make us broke, and we run right up to it, get slapped in the neck, and we leave like we're happy. They're laughing because they're happy, and then what do we have? We're fleeced out of our money, and it's so damn sad. Caller, you are right in so many aspects. What's your name, and what city are you calling from?
Equanee. I'm calling from Columbia, South Carolina.
Well, man, that's beautiful, because at least you up on it. Because I don't understand how symbols of prestige are so important to black people, man. It's like if you take the logo off of Jordans, or if you take the red bottom off of a heel, it's just a shoe. Why should it have that great-ass value because of a logo or a red bottom? Because I be telling women all the time, dudes don't give a damn about if you got on red bottoms in a Chanel purse. We could care less. But all of our money is going to this nonsense.
Yeah, they really. I think they do that to impress other women. Like you said, dudes don't care about that shit. I think they do that. They be in competition with other women on that type of stuff. But we could care less. I don't even know what, you know. Go ahead, sir.
Well, no, but just to add on, as you guys are speaking about it, all of it is indoctrination, programming. They give it to us via the magazines, the Right On magazines, the Jet magazines. They really tell you how to think. They tell you what is cool, and when you don't have a sense of worldview, organic sense of worldview, knowing who you are and how to properly see yourself within the world. Whenever you are coming to these tools, to these things, these I'm going to say devil's tools, so to speak, you understand, playing around, utilizing TV for the wrong thing, utilizing your telephone, your cell phone, utilizing all these devices for the wrong reasons, you'll wind up becoming one of the ones that's allured by seeing pictures of this, you know, woman doing this thing. So now women are trying to do what she does. Or now, you know, they're watching a TV show, and now because they see Mary J. Blige or see such and such doing this, because they have no sense of identity. And this is something that even, you know, their science tests have shown, where the black girl chooses the white doll over the black doll. So that shows you a sense of integrity we have about ourselves. Like, we don't feel confident about ourselves, so a lot of times we have to buy these things. We have to do what the market says we have to do in order to make ourselves cool. You know, and the white folks do a real good job. Now they're doing it more so through music. They're doing it, they're killing two birds with one stone, because now they can market and promote Jordans or whatever ice, like you say, the tell you to go out and buy a diamond ring that's chipped all up. You understand? They're encouraging to go out and support these things, and I feel like they are ultimately paid by these companies, these rappers. You understand? Now you have our children, a group of children that are now over this jingle. You understand? Because they understand the importance of jingles while they're marketing in their commercials and stuff. Now they put this hot beat with this nice catchy hook to it. You hear this stuff and it's like, man, what they? But it's so redundant. They play it again and again and again and again. And they program you to go out and get a Cadillac because Rich Boy has sang it so much. You understand? So these things are definitely psychological. This is psychological warfare that we must understand,
yes,
especially when it comes down to our people. So they don't, like you guys were just saying, they don't even have to lift up a physical tool. You understand? They don't have to pick up a gun or a weapon. These are their weapon. They're letting us destroy ourselves and destroy each other through their propaganda.
They got us marching. They got us marching, man, marching down the field like idiots. And what really, really makes it sad when you think about it, we actually had everything. We're not even going to get into how we had Black Wall Street and all of that. But the media played such a big part, and then we kind of not only fed into it, we glorified it. And then what upsets me is once we get a little bit of money, and then here they come with this love and hip-hop and reality stuff, and even the ones married to medicine, and I hate that show. These are all black women doctors. Doctors, you know how hard it is to even graduate to become a doctor. That takes dedication and knowledge and sleepless nights and everything. And now you're at that level of prestige with a worthy income, and you go on a TV show and embarrass yourself. That is the craziest thing in the world. It's like if you give a dude $10 million,
that fame is a serious drug. That fame
it
is a
really
serious drug.
It really
drug,
is,
sweet.
Man. It is
you
crazy.
Want that fame. They'll throw it all away just to have some type of fame, you know.
And every month it's going to be a new reality show that's going to make us look stupider than the last reality show did. That's the sad part about it. And we can't see it. And then all of the, as the caller mentioned, all of the figures that we respect or look up to, they're basically pushing products down our throat as well, too. And you know what's funny about it? Let's take, for example, beer. Do you know that Old English was back in 1964 when Old English came out? So ask me why I know that, but I done drank so much Old English back in the day, I can tell you. Do you know that Old English is actually the crumbs, the barrel, the bottom of the barrel, that they didn't know what to do with it after they had made the premium beer? Because Miller made Old English. So when the scraps from the Miller High Life, the champagne, the bottled beers. Huh?
I didn't know Miller made Old English.
Yes, yes, yes. 1964. Okay. Also Mickey's. But malt liquor was the scraps of the barrel, and they just figured out, well, damn, man, what are we going to do with all these scraps? Let's market it because it's actually going to be a little bit more potent, and let's just gear it to
that's
the...
all we want to hear.
Yeah,
cheap.
And
it's
we can put, we can put
we
a cheaper
hear.
Price on it as well. So they increased the alcohol content. On the East Coast, it was 5.9 for Old English. But on the West Coast, it was 8.0, player. So
they made
an affordable beer that how many people say, why do you think they call it liquid courage? How many people have lost their lives over 8-Ball? Feel me?
Yeah.
Because they marketed it to us. Then they got celebrities to endorse it. Even Cole 45 had Billy D, the coolest black guy of his era, the suavest dude in the world. What make you think he was drinking Cole 45? They suckered us and suckered us and suckered us until we really couldn't be suckered no more.
Hey,
still suckered.
And, And on the opposite end of the spectrum, I don't really recall, but did you have white folks endorsing, you know, things just like even in the music, the stuff today, the stuff that we endorse via the music, you know, even how despicable and how, you know, disgraceful white folks can do with all their silly pranks. They don't really glorify silly shit in their music, you know, where it's publicized on a public scale where it's now promoted in a pop culture. Like, we'll go out there and see, you know what I'm saying? I think this it really definitely does speak to the mind that we see as being coherent in some of the things that we participated in ourselves and that we see our people participating in.
Yeah. Yeah, because I can't even imagine how much money that all the guys we grew up with, how much old English that we drank, and how much fights we had and didn't know that.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Man, it was crazy. It was crazy. And the funny part about it, let's move the game up. Then we learned about Hennessy and Remy. I bet you can ask 50 million women, where does Hennessy come from? They wouldn't even be able to tell you. What country is Remy Martin made in? They would not know.
Right.
It's just a brand that they have to have. Now, we could blame it on BMF and Big Meechie for making it rain in the club, and we could blame it on Mayweather for, you know, flossing. But, man, we are not our own enemy. Then we wonder why we have no nothing, no generational nothing to give to nobody. We still live in day to day. But yet, I sat back and I thought about, I saw a very extravagant birthday party for a 2-year-old child. I'm talking about just all over the top. And I remember that when my daughter was like maybe 3, rented a pony, and we had a pony and a little train and all of that. And I asked her, and she didn't even remember that. And that set me back. It really set me back. She didn't even remember it, man. And people spending us black people spend all this money on the jumpers and the you know, the designer tablecloths
for Jordan,
a 3-year-old kid that ain't going to remember nothing.
Tweet. They get the Jordans for the babies, knowing they're going to outgrow them in a few months. But, you know, they have the kids with the Jordans, too, fresh.
Hey, and Jordans, those baby Jordans, they cost about the same as the fucking Jordans.
I'm knowing they do.
Wow. You are kidding, right?
At least 100.
You are kidding,
right?
100.
Nah, probably about 80, in between 80 and 100.
80.
For
80
a kid tennis shoe, costs $80 to $100.
Yep.
Y'all kidding,
really.
Right? Wow, I never would have thought no shit like that. Wow.
Yeah.
And then the messed up part about it is, it's bad enough that they suckered us into the holidays, right? Because America, they really get their paydays on them holidays. Oh, they ready for us. The Easters, the Thanksgivings, the 4th of July's. Man, it ain't no independence. But yet, 4th of July come, we out there in droves spending our money on bullshit. It's just another day when you think about it. Because remember the build-up to Christmas? It's always a build-up. You just overextended yourself, you know, because all the kids got to be happy on Christmas. You look out for the kids, and what's going to happen? A week later, mortgage and rent is due. But you done blew all your money on Christmas. Half the toys you bought is broke now. Feel me? And now... You got to have that rent money on the first again. So it's like, man, we get caught up in so many stupid-ass things, man, that really don't help us in the long run. And like the caller said, it's kind of conditioning. We've been conditioned to think that we're nothing unless we have a name brand on us or we have a fancy car or some perishable stuff that really don't mean nothing. Do you remember back in the day when everybody wanted a Hummer? Oh, you had to have a Hummer. I saw a Hummer the other day, and I'm like, why was people even tripping off of that? It looked like a big-ass army tank driving.
Yeah,
everybody named Mama.
That was cool on that. That's a big-ass gas tank.
But not only that, though, it looked good when it came out, but now you look at it now, it's like, what was I thinking? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
because
man,
it wasn't
crazy.
Made for, they didn't make it for that, but we just took it as that and made it fly and fashionable, but it wasn't made for that. That's why they probably laughed at that too. It wasn't made to, that was made to be a Hummer for specific, you know, things, but we made it fly and you know, so they said, well, shit, we'll make this fashionable. They made the new Hummer, which everybody, you know, went and bought, you know, the H2 thing. But it wasn't
you
made,
pull up in one now.
That.
You pull up in one now, and the girls that ain't going to be looking at you, you know. It's
no.
Like, wow. And that's our issue. We want to buy stuff
yeah.
that impress everybody. And what's hot today may become passe.
Yeah.
Like Tower Power said, what
wheels?
Is hip?
Remember the
what
spinning
is,
wheels?
Oh, yeah. That was the
all
dumbest invention in the world.
People going crazy over that, too. Yeah.
Wasn't that some dumb
but
shit?
But see, but it was dumb. But look at Tweed. Go back to what you said earlier again, and I think the same way. I'm not big on Jordans or none of that. I would give me some Fly Kicks, some K-Swiss, or some Nikes, or some whatever that's fresh, like you said, original, and I'm going to be just as fly, as long as I'm cleaned up. You understand? So
exactly.
Go back to, you said the spinning wheels played out. But what's still around? What can you still get right now? Some fresh Daytons or whatever the case, and kill everything out there. So just keep it fly and original. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then you don't have to keep
hey.
Up. You
right.
don't have to keep
right.
Man, me, I'm an ironer. Always, you know, I like my creases. That's just how I was raised. And where I live now, you know, it's white people. They don't know about heavy starch and
right,
things
right.
of that nature. And
right.
I went to an event, and somebody said, man, you're an OG, man, because, man, your pants. Your pants are starch.
Right.
It's like... Man, they made me feel like I was an odd man. I was like, I'm the only guy in the room that, you know, got a starch.
I understand.
You know,
yeah,
and it's like,
that's
wow.
Everywhere now, though. They looking at you like a caveman or something, like you,
yeah.
or special. It's either or. They're gonna look at you like, what is he doing? Or you will be highly respected because you're one of few. You know, so yeah, it's just like
norm.
That these days, man. Yeah.
And let
yeah.
me play this, man. Caller. Love your commentary, man. Stay with me, man. We
thank
still
you,
got
sir.
An
thank
hour,
you.
Man. Stay with me, sir. Let me play this, man, for y'all, man. Let me open up your minds. 93.3 Tweed FM. I am Tweed Cadillac. G. Lou.
Lou Lavish.
Lou Lavish. Man, our sponsors, BTP Media, the GLouShow.com, Sun Sound Concerts and Tours, MagnificentWax.com, Stacy Adams Incorporated, Fun Diggity Funnel Cakes. Check this out, y'all. Man, this is going to be, man, a great episode. Only talking about how we but at the end of the show, what I'm really going to tell y'all is going to blow your mind is the person that actually I got this excerpt from, you will never believe who it is. Never in a million years, and I understand why he did what he did, but I kind of hold him responsible for kind of giving up the game as well, man. Check it out. 93.3 Tweed FM.
Video coming through.
All right, the light's hot enough.
Don't forget the dolly and coat.
All right, be sure and stay clear of number 2 camera, and all set. Stand by.
Hello, I'm Bob Trout. I've got a story here that I think is big, really big, because it's bound to have a terrific impact on business. I'm talking about a new market, a big new market, millions upon millions of new prospects with $15 billion to spend. That's right, I said $15 billion. That's a lot of money, isn't it? The surprising thing is that it's a fresh market, still full of opportunities. It grew up so fast, got so big in a hurry, that few of us realize its scope. Now, these days, nobody's likely to pass up chances to sell. And yet, right here in our own front yard, there's a neglected market. There's money waiting to be spent. To get the story of this market, to be able to tell you the secret of selling the Negro, we did a lot of digging. We talked to leading businessmen, to customers, and to salesmen. We went to Washington, D.C. We set up cameras and other key points around the nation. And out of this all, there emerged a story. The story of a new market. Yes, this is the market we're talking about. The new Negro family. Their name is Wells or Wilson, Smith or Brown or Alexander or Breen. They live in Chicago, in Atlanta or New York, in Detroit, St. Louis, Los Angeles, any one of a thousand cities and towns. All over the country, families such as this are enjoying new prosperity. They have new interests, new standards of living, a buying power they've never enjoyed before. There are good prospects for practically all types of goods and services. All too often, though, they are overlooked prospects. Why? Because of some good, valid reason? No. They're overlooked because of mistaken ideas. Because of out-of-date ideas about how the Negro lives and how he buys. The truth of the matter is that the Negro lives pretty much the same as other folks. He buys pretty much the same way, too. But just the same, a lot of old doubts and opinions keep cropping up over and over again.
Oh, I don't like to do business with Negroes. They're drifters. You can't keep track of them.
Yes, although a lot of people think that way, the truth is that one out of every three Negro families living in cities today owns its own home. That figure comes directly from the United States Bureau of Census.
Maybe so, but Negroes are poor credit risks.
Not more of a credit risk than any other group. Actually, the Negro homebuyer meets his payments faithfully, often more faithfully than other race groups in the same economic level. That's the information we got from people who ought to know, the National Association of Real Estate Boards.
Well, maybe, but I've always heard that Negroes buy shoddy, poor quality merchandise.
No, it's just the other way around. According to leading researchers, in proportion to population and income, Negroes buy more quality products than any other comparable United States group. You see, there are a lot of confused notions about the Negro customer. But when you dig right down and find out about them, they just don't hold water. Negroes own homes. They meet their payments faithfully. They buy good brands of merchandise. So why let a lot of old-fashioned ideas hurt profits? Take a look at the real facts. Here in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, some amazing facts and figures about this new market have been uncovered. For a first-hand report, we would like to take you directly to the United States Department of Commerce to hear this story from the Secretary of Commerce himself. Here is the Honorable Sinclair Weeks, the Secretary of Commerce of the United States.
In the Department of Commerce, we are constantly alert to trends that mean a healthier national economy, better business for the nation as a whole. Recently, we have been interested in a rising young market, one that represents a huge potential for goods and services. I'm referring to the new Negro market. The tremendous buying power of this group is backed, of course, by an increased earning power. The average Negro family's income is at a record high. In fact, since 1939, it has increased more than the average income of all other Americans. Just take a look at a few figures. An official Department of Commerce report shows that at least one-third of the Negroes living in cities earn from $2,000 to $5,000 a year. Today, the average Negro wage earner brings home a paycheck four times larger than the one he collected in 1939. As a whole, the Negro market has a total income of about $15 billion every year. And after taxes, Negro families still have many billions of dollars to spend. Here is a buying power that cannot help but have a tremendous effect on our national economy and on business prosperity in general. When these dollars are spent for a wide range of goods, services, and employment, business everywhere is bound to feel the impact.
This new buying power has resulted in a class Negro market, a profitable, above-average income group of consumers. For example, the nation's largest newspaper and magazine research organization, Daniel Starch and Staff, reports these significant figures. More than 51% of the readers of Ebony Magazine have a record player in their home. Almost 64% own a television set. And almost 78% enjoy the convenience of an electric refrigerator. It is also a fact, and this is from the magazine The Food Field Reporter, that Negroes spend almost $3 billion a year for food alone. Per capita, they buy more cosmetics, drugs, and toiletries than anyone else in the country. And their children are better educated, too, because since 1930, enrollment in Negro colleges is up 2,500%. But really, to recognize the importance of this class Negro market, we must realize that something has been happening economically in our country. People are on the move. The population is shifting. The makeup of metropolitan populations today is different than it was just a few short years ago. To give you a better idea of what we mean, we set up several cameras, candid cameras, in a number of shopping locations. Take a look at these shoppers. Notice what a large proportion of them are Negro. What's the reason? It's simply this. Negro families are moving into the cities where there are more job opportunities. Here they find occupations with more prestige and security, jobs that pay more money. As a result, Negro families today often make up the largest part of central city consumer prospects. A shoe store in Chicago's Loop, for example, reports that more than 50% of its customers are Negroes. In another case, a drugstore located at a transfer point in a non-Negro neighborhood finds that its Negro customers total 25%. The trend is plain. The new Negro families today are moving into more populated areas, to the cities, where there are more stores, more buying opportunities. Since 1940, in San Francisco alone, the Negro market has increased by 89%. In Chicago, by 81%. Houston, Texas, 45%. Philadelphia, 50%. The impact of this new buying force is so tremendous that actually in 14 major United States markets, a product cannot be number one without Negro support. A product must have the backing of this big new buying power to be a leader in the field. What do you have to sell? Chewing gum or cars? Toothpaste or transportation? Whatever it is, here are millions of prospects. And these prospects are everywhere. Negro customers can no longer be pigeonholed. They cannot be classified as prospects who trade only in certain stores, certain neighborhoods. Today, Negroes shop downtown. They shop in supermarkets. They shop in small neighborhood stores. They'll buy from anyone who wants to sell to them. But we all know that before you can sell to customers, you've got to get to know them. You must understand something about them. What do the Negro customers buy? Why do they buy? How do you sell to them? Let's find out. Let's hear the opinion of men who have spent a lifetime studying the buying habits of customers the world over. Here is what sales psychologists have to say about selling to the Negro.
The secret of selling to the Negro is expressed in one word. That word is recognition. Now, there's nothing unusual about that. People want to be recognized. They need recognition. That's basic in all of us. But perhaps because he's had so little of it, the Negro needs even more. He needs to feel important and appreciated. This need is a very real and important one. It shows up even in many of the Negro's shopping habits. Anyone who sells or wants to sell to the Negro customer should know about some of these habits. Three habits in particular play a big part in every sales transaction. To begin with, most Negroes buy by brand. They ask for products by name. They're quick to turn down off brands. Do you wonder why? Well, listen to what this customer is thinking.
That last hat I bought just didn't hold up at all.
You see, for a long time, the Negro has been sold a lot of shoddy, second-class merchandise. So now he asks for name brands in order to make sure he gets his money's worth. Buying by brand, that's the first important Negro buying habit. Now for the second. The Negro buys good quality merchandise. Symbols of quality and prestige are very important to the Negro customer. This woman, for example, is buying fine crystalware. But she is also buying the admiration and approval of her friends and relatives. Listen to her thoughts.
My, isn't it beautiful? I can hardly wait to show it to Sally and Joan.
It's a well-known fact that many Negro customers are influenced by the opinions of others. What their friends may think of a certain item often decides whether or not the sale is made. So remember, the Negro buys quality merchandise. That's the second important point. And here's the third thing to remember when selling to a Negro customer. When he specifically asks for one thing, don't try to sell him something else. Don't try to switch him at the point of sale. If you do, he'll probably react something like this.
Doesn't he think I've got the money to pay for it?
There's a reason for this reaction. Again, because he's had experience with cheap merchandise, the Negro resents being offered a substitute. He wants to be sold on quality, not price. The Negro buys by brand, he buys quality, and he doesn't like to be switched at point of sale. These are the keys to selling the Negro customer. Another point. The Negro family does things together, as a group. The family works as a unit. It lives as a unit, and it buys as a unit. When you sell to one member, you many times sell to all. It's also true that many places of entertainment are still closed to the Negro. So he spends more of his money for the things that are available to him. Often, for items that are considered luxuries. Another trait of the Negro market is the fact that it is a pre-sold market. We know that the Negro buys by brand, and he buys the brands that he knows something about. Where does the Negro buyer get this information? We know that Negro customers are turning more and more to the publications that are tailored specifically to their needs, that give them the news and the information that they want to read about. Many leading businessmen and companies already know this. That's why so many of them are taking this direct, sure route of reaching the Negro customer. The vice president of advertising of the Gruen Watch Company, for example, says this.
In many important cities throughout the United States, Negroes are important customers of the credit jeweler. Therefore, it seemed that Ebony Magazine would be a very important advertising medium for us. We would say it was very well received, and from our viewpoint, a very successful campaign.
From the Remington Rand Company comes this statement.
Our records show that advertising in Ebony has been effective in many ways. As all good advertising should, it has built a terrific amount of goodwill and has brought a volume of sales and sales inquiries.
A representative of the Allega Syrup Company makes this statement.
Because of Allega's regard for the influence of Ebony in the Negro market, advertising space was doubled. Allega's long experience in selling to Negroes now takes the most direct route to its best customers. reaching Ebony's 2.5 million audience in every issue. And here are the statements of still other business leaders.
Yes, many business leaders are discovering the most direct and most efficient way of reaching the new Negro market. Look here at the results of the same advertisement in two different publications, Ebony and another general magazine. You can see that proportionately, more men and women read the ad in Ebony than the one in the other magazine. And they did a better job of remembering it, too. A greater percentage of readers noted, associated, and remembered the ad in Ebony. But now, wait a minute. If the Negro market is so big and easy to reach, why aren't more companies going out after it? Well, often because of the feeling that there's something entirely different, unusual about selling to the Negro. But is it really so different? What do salesmen say? The successful salesmen who do a good job of selling in Negro communities. How do you go about getting the order?
How do I get the order? Well, to tell you the truth, I don't do anything. Anything different, that is. I've been calling on these accounts long enough to know that the Negro just wants to be treated like everybody else. No matter who you're calling on, a little friendliness and courtesy help a lot. But naturally, anybody resents being patronized or talked down to. So I usually call a man Mr. Brown, Mr. Smith, or Mr. whatever his name is, until he tells me to call him by his first name. And of course, I always stick to business. I stay away from talk about race or religion or politics. That goes for talk about Negro celebrities, too. You know, this business about what good prize fighters and singers the Negroes are. Who cares? When a guy's in business, no matter what color his skin is, he's interested in making a living, in making money. That's uppermost in his mind. I guess maybe what I'm saying is that I try to help any way I can. Sometimes with displays or ad materials, or an idea once in a while. The important thing is that if it helps push sales for the dealer, it helps push them for me, too.
Handle the Negro account just like any of your others. Don't patronize. Stick to business. Get interested in the account. Pitch in and help any way you can. Sounds like pretty good sales advice. That's the secret of selling the Negro. Well, how about it? What do you think of this new market? It can open new outlets for you and for everybody who sells goods or services. It's still possible to get in on the ground floor when this market is just beginning to grow and to expand. The facts and the figures that we see here are just a small sample of what they promise to be next year and the years after that. Yes? Here are men and women with money to spend, and they spend it for exactly the same things as you and I and everyone else. They buy almost every type of product and service that you have to offer, and they can be reached like everyone else through publications that appeal to their interests and desires, that deliver the kind of loyal readership that can be proved both in surveys and in down-to-earth sales. Here is a ready-made market, waiting to be asked to buy.
And there you have it. And that was 1954. They figured out a way to get us. And here we are in 2021. We've been got. What's sad about it is we never saw it coming. They strategically figured out a way to get us. And guess what? We've been got. To say that and to say this, we have to realize that we are being played, manipulated, bamboozled, hoodwinked, all the other adjectives that you could think about. It is what it is. It is what it is. What we have to do as a people is to not keep up with the Joneses and realize that our dollars should go for our needs and not our wants. You save for your wants. You take care of your needs. Because how many broads or dudes put on a church suit and go to the club? How many broads go to the club and their kids is eating Thai ramen and they got on their red bottoms going to the club buying Hennessy, but your kids is at home eating a Happy Meal? Man, 93.2 FM. I know that was a long seminar, but something that you need to know. That's how they look at you. That's what they think of us. And that's how they've capitalized off of us. 93.2 FM.
Da 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 And you know you can't afford it, but the very next thing you used to do is start saving for it. The Joneses have been a downfall of many persons you see. So people, take my advice and let the Joneses be. Ow!
Don't let the Joneses,
don't let the Joneses,
don't let the Joneses
get you down.
I didn't know he was off air all that time, man. I told you I'm tripping, man. But yeah, go ahead, Tweed.
Yeah, man, check it out. For those that really, you know, I hope that expose didn't put y'all to sleep. But if you listen and you grab something out of that, it just shows how they figured out and studied our spending habits and kind of used it, not against us, but lured us into their propaganda. And that was done in 1954. But the ironic part about that whole expose is John H. Johnson was the publisher of Ebony and Jet magazine. The one that made that.
Wow.
Excuse me. He's the one that made that. And by him making that, he thought that he would be able to secure more advertising space to show the white people that if you advertise in my magazine, you will make money, which was a great marketing tool. I mean, all magazines ran off of advertising dollars, just like all radio shows run off of advertising dollars. If we had a BMW sponsoring the G. Lou show, and, you know, we'd be big.
Right.
You feel me? So
yes,
he did it thinking that if he can get the white dollars to help the magazine and show them that this is how you can get to black people if you advertise through me because they read my publication because they trust me, then you can make money. He had the right idea, but he actually gave the blueprint up to everybody else, and it was studied throughout the years from all other races. That was the whole premise of this episode, was to show you how we was played from jump. His intentions weren't to really do that. It was to get him some money, and then what did he do? He went and sold Johnson & Johnson to the white man for $1,000,000,000,000,000,000 and live happily ever after. Him and his generational wealth that's going all the way down his great-great-great-great-great-greats, because he's dead. But the money that they right. have spent, not only from Ebony, Jet Magazine, all the products, the hair products that he had, all of that shit. And remembering the Soul Train movie, how when him and Don Cornelius was talking and he wanted to pull the plug, you feel me? He had power, right. but he understood. Why you think he even spent his money to advertise on Soul Train? Because he knew that he was going to make money. So, man, it was all, man, life is all about money. And every race that'll spend their money to get the black dollars is basically just an investment. And the messed up part about it is, it ain't not near one beauty salon or nail shop that even really advertise the blacks. Blacks see that shit and they run right up in there. Feel me?
Right.
And then
right.
word of mouth, oh, well, you know that Alex Fist Market got the best fist, but Alex's name is really Jeff Kwan or somebody. Feel me?
right. Yeah.
But they always yep. got the cool name. You feel me?
Right.
Do you realize that Louisiana chicken, the Koreans own that?
Wow.
You never
wow.
knew that? The one on Crenshaw and King.
Oh, this, I could imagine the they one. Do. I didn't know they always did. I could imagine now. I
no,
know.
They went bought it, turned into a franchise. So they bought it. They already have the recipe. And, you know, all you have to
right.
do is follow the process. And you can make
right.
the chicken arisen like it was. Even the one that's on Manchester and Normandy.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
one that's in Inglewood on Imperial, all of them. All
right.
of Louisiana's are now the Koreans on them. And what
wow.
they do, they chopped up it, and they got half Chinese food and half Louisiana chicken. Because they know that's what we want. What you do, give
right.
what they want, they coming back. That's the trip part about it. Everything that we like, they know what we like. They buy it up, and now we buying it from them. How many liquor stores that they made money? Hole-in-the-wall liquor stores that you've seen in your neighborhoods for years and years and years, and they never went out of business. My liquor store, 39th and Western, Century Liquor Store, ain't never changed the name. It's been there forever. Imagine if that was a family-owned business. All the kids could be graduating from Harvard from selling blunt wraps in Hennessy. That's the thing, man. That's the whole point and the premise of this episode. It's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yep. How the hell is a Korean going to sell us chicken and fish? Does that make any sense to you?
Man, it makes dollars and cents.
So it does make sense. And we talk about a gang of pennies. A gang of pennies that they could take right to the bank on us. Wow. And the funny part about it, back in the day, I can personally remember when all the liquor stores were owned by black people, all the little fish markets and restaurants were actually owned by black people. And they came in and said, well, I'll give you $75,000 for this liquor store. Back then, that was a lot of money. A lot of us sold out, took the money. They came in, and they still right there with the same business. I remember when the Sloss and Swap Meet first opened, and it's still there, withstood the riots, withstood everything, and it's still there. They ain't even painted that bitch in 20 years. It's the same colors it was when the riots was. Feel me?
Yeah.
It ain't even been painted.
Yeah.
And imagine how many people got rich. They had little booths in the sauce. Because I remember the lady in the back that used to put your name on ads was doing that shit with a sewing
yeah.
machine. With a sewing
yeah.
machine, homie. Shit. Man, we got a caller. 93.
I went over there a few weeks ago when
FM.
I was there. They still rocking.
Exactly. Yes, and they're never going to stop. It's a fixture. Caller, you're live on 19.3 FM ism. Speak on.
Oh, OG, what's going on, man? Rev Ali, you know, speaking on it with you, you know, coming in, talking to you and G Luke, you know what I mean? I appreciate both of y'all, man. You know, but yeah, you talking some real stuff, though. You know, where I grew up at in Baldwin Hills, over there off of La Brea and Rodeo Road, it was all Asians over there back in the 70s.
Exactly.
The whole
exactly.
The whole neighborhood was Asian. You know
do
what I mean?
Remember,
so when I tell people...
Do you remember behind Angela's funeral home on both the Chinese place called Ho Sai Kai that was across the street from Angela's funeral home? Do you remember that whole street was nothing but Asians?
Nothing but Asians.
And
nothing
it was beautiful, beautiful fucking houses on that whole street right now. Matter of fact, it spread like about 3 or 4 blocks. And then the bowling alley was right there. Do you know, man, that those houses could possibly be close to maybe $600,000 to $700,000 now?
Yeah, right now today.
If Baldwin Hills is $1 million, imagine.
Yeah.
Do you know that Dorsey High School was all Asians back in the 60s?
All Asians. I'll be telling
folks,
man, they'd be like,
"Would not believe that." A lot of people
they don't have no idea,
that.
Man.
Yeah,
no idea.
They actually don't. They actually.
I've been
really
telling
don't.
Them, man. I've been telling them, man. I'd be like, "I said I'm from South Los Angeles, you know, La Brea, Rodeo Road." They said, "Oh, by the Jungles." I said, "Yeah, but if you know the real deal, the Jungles was all white. It wasn't
sure
no black
was.
Folks in the Jungle. It was all white. Matter of fact, they filmed a lot
sure
of those
was.
White, black and white films." In the jungle, because those apartments was really big. You know what I mean? They had
and they
big old apartments in the jungle.
And look, they still are big. That's the funny part about it. I mean, I'm talking about the bedrooms was big. The closets was big. Man, they had a living room and a dining room. Man, it was a street in
they
the
have
jungle
no idea.
People wanted
them
to live in the jungle. All the swimming pools were. It was swimming pools in every building. In the jungle back in the day.
Yeah,
it was
well.
Luxurious living. It really was. It wasn't no gates and bars and all of that.
None
man,
of that.
The jungle used to be really, really fly, man. A lot of people would never know that.
Yeah, man.
All
you know, when they talk about...
Day.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's why I be telling folks, man, I'm Asian. I said, I don't fight against Asian people at all. I said, they was my neighbors, man. I said it was about 4 Asians in the middle of me between the first black person on my street. 4 houses of Asians before you get to the next black, you know, black house. You know, and it was good. They had great landscaping, too, Tweed. That's why it looked beautiful over there. They did all the landscaping.
Go right back. You could drive down that street right now, right behind Ho Sai Kai and that cool liquor store, across the street from Angela's funeral home, across the street from where KGLH used to be. And that whole street right there behind, but on the side where the liquor store and Ho Sai Kai is, still beautiful, man.
Mm-hmm.
Still beautiful.
Hey, where's KJLH now, Tweet?
Now, that, I don't know, last I heard, it was in Inglewood, if it's still there. Not Market Street, but it's another street.
Well, nah, I don't know. Well, Inglewood, that's, I know, it's a studio there, but I don't think that's the main one. That's where they go do the shows, a couple of people. That's not the main, but your boy owns, that's his spot, the guy that's on KJ. What's his name? On Nighttime.
Don't Stevie own KJLA?
Stevie still owns it.
But back in the day, you could drive down Crenshaw and see them broadcasting live on the air. It was a window where you could see the DJ
right
there driving down Crenshaw. That was back in the day.
I thought that was
Kevin.
Wasn't that KGFJ tweet? I thought that was KGFJ. That was KJLH because it's on La Brea now.
Yeah, that was KGLH. That was KGLH.
Yes.
I know that for a fact. Yes.
I thought Stevie moved it over there off of La Brea and San Vicente, right over in that area.
Exactly. That's he moved it from that was KGFJ. Was on San Vicente and La Brea. Where the Hanna-Barbera spot was.
but the other side.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my
well, yeah,
people stay right on Family Sensei in Orange Avenue. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, some history over there, boy. Tweed know it because Tweed, you know,
look,
I think Tweed
I'm
the L.A.
Saying,
High.
I never knew that. That's my aunt.
Hey, man, we had Asians that lived on my, it's still Asians that lived on my block in Harlem. When I grew up, we had several Asian families that lived on my block and would play with
right.
us and all of that. And then once we got to high school years, they stayed in school and they went on. Matter of fact, the guy that lived two doors down from me, but across the street, turned out to be a lawyer. You know, and
wow.
got an office, a law firm on Wilshire. Feel me? And I grew up with them. And it's funny because he still remembered me. I was his childhood friend. And he's been in corporate
right.
America for over 30 years. But he's like, yeah, I never forgot where I came from. And he said, nobody even asked me where I came from. But if they do, I will tell them that I was from South Central L.A. And the funny part about
wow.
it, they never even called it South Central L.A. It used to be called Southwest L.A.
Right.
And where that South Central shit came from is beyond me. They had a newspaper called the Southwest Wave. That was a publication. And then they had one called the L.A. Sentinel. The Sentinel had all of the crime drama. And the Southwest Wave had all the entertainment and cool stuff in it. Now, where that South
right.
Central shit came from, I don't know, but it was either you was East Side or you was West Side, and we was considered Southwest L.A. And then here
right.
comes South Central to put a stigma on it. But, yes, it was, a matter of fact, it's still Asians that live on my childhood block right now. That
yeah,
the house
mine
has been
too.
Passed down. The house has been passed down through generations.
To the kids.
And they are
yep.
still there. Right now to this day.
Man.
We have Filipino families that grew up on my street.
Yeah.
We had a couple, matter of fact, it wasn't that many Mexicans, but we had like three Mexican families, and everybody knew everybody, and it was all good. Man. But yeah, people can't believe that it was Asians in South Central. Asians went to Manual
right.
High School. Asians was
they
all
so
the
did.
Way at Manual. yep. Dorsey was nothing
so
but
did,
Asians.
Man.
Dorsey was an Asian school. Sure was. The Young Arts went to Dorsey. The old school group, the Young Arts, they went to Dorsey. Jody
wow.
Watley went to Dorsey. Did y'all know that?
Wow.
Yeah,
no, I didn't.
Yeah, Jody Watley went to Dorsey. It is what it is, but I know one thing. I would have lived in the jungle back in the day because that shit was fly. It was fly. It was a couple of streets that you didn't want to go on as the 80s came, but, you know, but then
it
wasn't like how it is now.
I mean, to the average person, I mean, it ain't, you know what I mean? I mean, it don't look like no Jordan Downs or nothing. It's still pretty nice from the naked eye.
No, but now
it's all
got them bars and, you know, you got to all go up and, man,
too.
Back then it was no
curtain
bars
or
no apartment buildings
yeah.
at all. It was absolutely no
yeah,
bars.
I'm telling you.
And the swimming pools was cracking. And, man, you could just drive around up in there and girls was out. And, man,
yeah.
it was fly, man. Man, it was fly up in there.
Yeah.
And it
yeah,
was
man.
Girls that, you know, like maybe two girls that rented out an apartment, mm-hmm. you know, and, man, all throughout there. And that's back when apartments were $300 a month for a two-bedroom.
I'm telling
my
you,
first
boy,
apartment
you
was
do
in
it.
Lamert Park, and it was $300 a month. And my roommate lost his job, and I couldn't afford to pay the rent because I had a regular-ass job. But that was a lot of money for an apartment, and it was in Lamert Park. Fly-ass fuck back in the day. Now, that same apartment
wow.
probably is about $1,500.
Yeah.
Lamert
sure.
Park was where you wanted to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, my auntie, she stayed on Nicolette right off of Santa Rosalia. And
yep.
I used to be off of, hanging off of Nicolette out there in the jungles, man. No joke.
It was cool as fuck. And then they had the club, the Consolidated Plaza, that was right up that hill on a Saturday night. Had the best time of your life. Best Blueberry Hill right down
about
there.
The stage
it
four?
Was all kind of stuff. Huh?
You talking about the stage four on King?
Yeah, the page four, and there was another one called
page
Blueberry
four, yeah.
Hill that was in that same little shopping center. The page four
yeah,
had
right
glass
there,
windows.
Hamburger
so
City,
you could
on,
drive
right
down
there on the alley.
And see people dancing inside the club. So you knew
right.
You wanted to go in there because you could see the activity outside the window. Those were
man, wasn't that
days.
Lovely back in the days, Tweed? Oh, man, that was the...
Oh,
you'll never see that again.
I'm too near you not to hear you. Those were the fucking days, as they say. But, yeah, man, L.A. was really a beautiful place to be, to grow up, to live, to experience. And when they did come with the Fox Hills Mall, man, we stayed up in there, too. It's been a lot of history in L.A. A lot of people moved out. You know, it got a little bit too rowdy. The Asians kind of said, well, we're kind of out of here. So they decided to split. You know, a lot of people left. And then here comes that, them Ziplocs and them boulders and them double ups. And we already know what happened because of that. But if you would have took away all of that, if all of that was not
you
in
say
the
them
equation,
double ups tweet.
Yeah, once the double ups came, it was a dundada. Escada dundada. If we could take away that part of L.A. history, I think it still would have been fucking cool. I really do. But it is what it is. We live, we learn, but let's just don't give away our black dollars to other races that don't even live in Southern California. Like G. Lou said, all the police live in Simi Valley, and then they come to
yep.
South Central, beat up a few niggas, go home,
go
and share their stories with their wife. Yeah, man,
yep.
I had to crack a nigga today. I slapped him with the flashlight. You should have saw him, Betty. He went down to the ground.
Yep.
They be joking and laughing with their buddies, having barbecues around their swimming pools.
Yep.
On Saturdays, their whole block ain't nothing but police officers. That do you realize that 60% of all the LAPD and sheriff live in Simi Valley? I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I believe it. I didn't know, but I believe
Pasadena.
It. Pasadena too?
Oh,
right off the 110.
Hey, man, and Pasadena.
On Marisol Road.
Oh, that
and Pasadena
wow.
back in the day was beautiful as well. Even Altadena was fly as fuck.
It's still beautiful.
Back in the day.
That shit still, shit, niggas ain't ran that down.
If you, well, Altadena, they got the little canyon where the park is, Altaloma Park. They got some proper ass houses up in there that I would actually buy one up in there.
All
and you could ease up in there. And wouldn't nobody even know that you was
in
Altadena.
Too. You got San Marino right before Pat. All of that up in there is real nice.
Because that used to be the original Beverly Hills, Pasadena, where the Rose Bowl is. Do you realize it's multi-million dollar mansions that's around the Rose Bowl? That was an exclusive-ass area and still is. And the Pasadena police ain't never like niggas. And once the whole throw came to Pasadena, they shut that. You know, it used to be a whole throw in Pasadena. I don't know if y'all
I heard
that.
I could not believe that. I could not believe
that.
Also in Pasadena.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. It was called Colorado Boulevard.
And wow,
it was
Colorado
Boulevard had a whole throw that was just as big as Sepulveda, if not bigger.
Wow.
Just as big as Sepulveda. And they were like, man, we ain't playing that shit. You get caught up in Pasadena at night if you want to. It's like going to Culver City. You finna get fucked up.
Yeah.
Don't go to Culver City
similar.
At night.
They're pretty similar. Yes, sir.
They are identical.
Yes, sir.
Don't not go to Culver City at night, player. And don't be in no Regal or a Cutlass or you can forget it. You can forget it. You ain't getting...
Yeah.
Don't even drive down Washington. nowhere near Culver City at night. They're not letting you up in there at all.
It's unless you valid. Registration, yeah, license, yeah, and insurance, boy.
You better have it all. And
they still
going to
pull you over, though.
Dogged out. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
But
good history tonight.
It's real life, man. I remember we went and met a white boy in Venice Beach and bought some illegal fireworks from this white boy. And we didn't want to get on the freeway. So we said, man, we're just going to drive back the streets and shit. Knew we had to pass through Culver City. But we like, okay, we ain't four deep in the cars, three of us, tags, everything is good. We get pulled over anyway. They find the fireworks. The dude, the police, had them, you know how they got them steel-toe boots and shit. The motherfucker opened up all the packages and stomped them out, crushed them all on the ground. All this money we spent. And then made us pick them up and put them in a trash can. After eating, just dogged them all out. Man, they made us, we had a six-pack of beer that wasn't even open in the car. They made us open the bottles and pour it out. It's like, what are you doing? It's not even open. We're not drinking it. Well, you know, you guys have all this illegal stuff, so we don't know if you're going to drink that beer or not, and you're driving through. You're not from this city. He made us open up the bottles and pour it out on the street, dude. Culver City is scandalous, man. But,
yeah.
Hey, you know where to go. You know where not to go. You know what to do. You know what not to do. But either way it go, look at all the money that these races, others, they're others. We don't buy nothing from us. They're others that have fleeced South Central L.A. down to its lowest terms. We're consumers to the third power. And it looks like going into 2022 after the pandemic, we're still going to be consumers with nothing. With nothing. We got to give all our money to somebody else. And yet we up here trying to keep up with the Joneses. And we know we all broke. We all know we broke. You know what you got in your bank account. You know whether or not you'd be stupid enough to go into a club and buy a bottle of Fifth of Hennessy in a nightclub. You got to be an idiot. Even in Vegas, they'll charge you $100 for a bottle of champagne. It costs $30. What idiot does
now,
that?
Now, more than that these days. They cost like $200.
Well, I'm just saying, what idiot would order a bottle service in a nightclub? You got to be the dumbest mother sucker in America to do some shit like that. We used to sneak in and see in the club and just buy soda and, I don't drink, just bring me a Coke. And the girl with us open up her purse and we making shots under the table. That was back in the day, though. We bring our own bottle into the club. But I'm just saying, we giving our money away for the dumbest reasons. Ain't no way I would make it rain in the club. I don't give a fuck if I was a millionaire. It ain't no way I would even consider some dumb stuff like that. Back in the day, we used to go to the Barbie Coast, the strip clubs, and all I gotta do is sit next to an old guy, you know, that's thirsty, as they say, and the girls is over there doing whatever he wants, because he giving them tips, and I sit right there and watch all the activity. It ain't spent a nickel. So I'm just saying. Real life.
Yeah, man.
Real city. Real time.
Yes,
next
sir.
Week, Marshall Thompson, Almighty, the last sole survivor of the Shy Lights, will be live, 93.3 Tweet FM. And he's about to get a star on Hollywood Boulevard. So we're going to celebrate it. It's going to be a complete Shy Light experience next week. It's going down, as they say, G. Lou. is going
yes,
down.
Sir.
So,
yes, sir.
Mr. Revy Rev.
Yes, sir.
Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
How many pairs of Air Jordans do you own? I'm just curious to know. Okay. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Because if you buy a pair today, I guess by, 4 or 5 months, it'll be played out, and you have to go get another one. The newest pair. It's people that be asking me, man, who got them PS5s? It's like, I don't know, because I don't know who got the PS1s. You know, I don't do video games. I'm so old school. I ain't into that. But
right.
PS5 came out, everybody wanted one, and now I heard that it ain't nobody got none nowhere. If you had a PS5, if you had a truckload of PS5s, you'd be rich in under 30 days. It's like, what's the big deal about that? But look, they don't have, like, buy an iPhone. Got an iPhone 12. By Christmas, it's going to be a 14 or something. So if you always have to have what the latest and the greatest is, you're going to always stay broke. And how many people that I know got iPhones and their screen is cracked? So get out of here with that shit. I got an Android, but my screen ain't cracked. Feel me? My girl got 2 iPhones, but her screen ain't cracked and she can pay for her bill. But the point is, why have an iPhone and your screen is cracked? I can't see myself spending $1,000 for a telephone. I just can't see it. I just can't see it. And I'm not frugal. I'm cheap. I buy quality, like they say, so I ain't got to keep going in my other type shit. I got a pair of Shield. I'm looking at it right now. My girl bought me a pair of Shield toes, an original pair of feet. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take a picture of them and put them on Facebook. I got 2 pairs of brand new shoes that she surprised me with just on the Swift. And keep it classic. Yeah. Give me a pair of 501s, and I got a heavy can of starch in the closet, and put on a tweed Cadillac t-shirt, and I'm in traffic. Real.
Right. Hey, Tweed, how was the event with Be Legit, man?
I didn't go. I flaked out at the last minute. I didn't go, man. I had some other shit that cracked that day. And we was going to go, but them like, shit. My folks said, oh, man, they was going to go, so I was going to caravan with them. And then they changed. They flipped out at the last minute. I'm like, shit. I ain't going to Vallejo and don't know nobody. I changed my mind.
Right.
Yep. Okay. But I heard that it was cool. That's all I heard. And I heard from somebody that I don't even know. So said it was cool. Said that I saw the pictures and all of that. And they doing donuts and all that shit. But hey, you miss one, you can get another one.
Right.
Concerts come and go. Fun come and go. It's what life is. And now that the pandemic is letting up a little bit up here in the Bay, Frisco is like opening up, and they open up the amusement parks at like 25%, I believe it is. So people is out and about. And Oakland and Lake Merritt, it's like it's back how it was in the 90s. It was so many people they had on the news. They out there, the vendors is out there, and they barbecuing, and man, it's shit, man, it's just crazy. Nobody had on masks, right, though. That was the scary part, but nobody had on masks. Nobody, wow. I'm talking about nobody. And this just happened on the news. Was it yesterday, Mama? We saw that. Yeah, it was yesterday. Where last weekend was off the chain. I'm talking about thousands of people around the lake. Thousands of people around the lake. So hey. It is what it is, man. I just want to live let live. I got an appointment to go see the doctor, so I get my little shot. I think I might have to do it. I want to be scared. No, I don't want that shit. You know, it might have side effects, but man, when you get older, dude, shit, I gotta take that chance.
Right.
I got to go get my shot, man. Hopefully, you know, won't have no side effects. My girl got her first one. She waiting on her second one, and I just go out and come back home. I'm not around people, so I ain't worried. As long as she wash her hands. When she come up in this crib, I ain't tripping. 93.2 FM, man. We got a few minutes, man. Let me, you know, play a song, man. Just on the strength, man. Just don't keep up, man, with the Joneses, y'all. Do your own thing, man. 93.2 FM.
That's all right. I need no
problem.
Bust a left or right, I'm out of sight, I'm sold. I'm bouncing off the road, I'm in the motor, was in bold, I'm painting tune. Hop out my big body form, chain with the tongue, can't forgive me what alarm. I'm hopping, I'm looking good, diamonds to get some wood. Man, it's understood, got money in my hood. I'm pushing big body, can't stop me. For the 9-8, gotta sell a million copies. I'ma crow slow, puffin' on the optimo, hit the stove. I'ma go real slow, puffin' on the optimo. I'ma let the stress green, man, I'm looking clean. One more control, big green and night for clean.
Wanna be a baller, shot caller, 20-inch blade. Getting high in the bin, big ballin', smashing, making my end. Smoking big killer, getting high in the bin. In the wind, smoke goes as I crawl down on those. Swanging the Lorenzo, smoke all up in my nose. Your eyes get froze. Hey, you see my load, candy red, too dope. Then my top nine slow, hitting my remote. Stitching in my presidential B12 with the AMG, get it go quick. As I get high, from KC to H9, connection Southside. Now we worldwide, watch me hot side. Can't be denied. 187 thugs. Oh yeah, we got love. Blowing sticky green with flow, woo, and that bug.
Wanna be a baller, shot caller, 20-inch blade on the Impala. Caller, get lit tonight. Switch the roll tight, got spray for ice. Now hit the highway.
My throat, now these lost on my inches. Had to get older, man, it got colder. I done got grown, got a chip on my shoulder. Dick sitting
Kuwait, got leaks of Pakistan. Boys don't understand, virtual reality caravan. Double dose, marble flows, naked, hard to rhyme me. Every time I come in, nine things they won't assign me. Got the little wheel, diamond grill, then we win. Blaze in the bin, and can't forget the den. The booby down the rubies, I'm watching on the movie. Drop the top of sky, then you know I'm in the jacuzzi. Bourbon and I'm swerving, man, it's getting hot. My last name, Lim, I'm dropping totem off the light. David Taylor.
Ball up. Shot caller, 20th play, on the Impala. Caller, get lit tonight. Switch the room tight, got spread the ice. I hit the highway, making money to fly away. But it's got to be a better way, yeah.
I hit the highway, having things my way. I party every day, all day. Ain't no way, boy, I can't stop as I fly to your neighborhood. Chop, 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 headed straight to the top. I only played a win, about to close up shop. So tapping dead in, pimp the pin once again. Beat the message I send. Take the levels that you devils can't comprehend. Big body beam, as I fall through the side. Big blue lean, now what you talking about? Close your mind, as I tell lost growers, free and die. My similes and metaphors, man, through the door. I constantly close, out the door. Gonna take off your clothes, Lord knows. Ain't no time to play. Cuffing some fun and a sucking on the
head. Wanna be a baller, shot caller, 20th play on the Impala. Caller, get lit tonight. Switch the road tight, got spread my eyes. Now hit the highway, making money to fly away. But it's got to be a better way, better way, better way, yeah.
The Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes with the top down, streaming out money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rings with the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
Jigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam, gleam in the hell with the price, but the money ain't a thing.
Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the bang. When you hit the brakes, new whips, money ain't a thing.
Come on. Yeah, I wanna gloss it up.
Come on.
Across the board, we burn it up. Drop a little paper, baby, toss it up. Slacking on your pimpin', turn it up. See the money ain't a thing.
Flex the road, sign a check for your hoe. Jigga style is love, X and O. Save all your accolades, just the dough. My game is wide, all lanes aside. Trying to stay alive, 100,000 for the bracelet. Foolish ain't out of chain to strain your eye. Twin platinum gun, son, aim for the sky. Ice on my bullet, you die soon as I pull it. Willies wanna rub shoulders, your money's too young. See me when it gets older, your bank account grow up. Mine's is 1000 old up. Damn near out the rear trunk when I roll up. Moti till I close up, it's all basic. I've been spending hundreds since they had small faces. Rob your stash out, doubled out down in Vegas. Me and JD got it locked crazy. Where you at, haters?
Jaguar switching four lanes, just top down, streaming out. Money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rings with the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
Nigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam. Gleam in the hell with the price, but the money ain't a thing.
Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the bing. When you hit the bricks, new whip, money ain't a thing. Y'all wanna floss with us? Cause all across the board we burning up. Drop a little paper, baby, toss it up. Slacking on your pimpin', turn it up. See the money ain't a thing.
K6, I live the life. Eating crab, watching get to shake shit all night. I make the big moves, do the big thing. Take small groups, turn them into big names. The big dog with the big chains. Frostbit bracelet, the match can't say I'm the shit, man. Type of nigga that you need, recruits. Type of dude that'll do shit you won't do. Can't do, get more burn than a candle. Too hot to hold, too much to handle. In the black C-Lo, he know. If she look, she go. Bye-bye with Dada. And I ain't gotta say no more. I'm the truth like AI. Got the proof and stay fly. In the safest shit you could never buy. Know why? Cause I write the songs that the whole world sing. I don't know about y'all, but every night I swing. The Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes with the top down, streaming out money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rings with the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
Jigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam. Gleam in the hell with the price, but the money ain't a thing.
Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the bang. When you hit the brakes, new whips, money ain't a thing.
Yeah, I wanna gloss it up. Across the board, we burn it up. Drop a little paper, baby, toss it up. Slacking on your pimpin', turn it up. See the money ain't a thing.
It ain't for real till y'all ship a meal. And y'all hit a R&B chick and she fit the bill. Said she love my necklace. Started relaxing. Now that's what the fuck I call a chain reaction. Went from wholesome to jigger you awesome. Baby, I don't play on my jewelry, it's like gray. Platinum, spend your whole life in the day. What's down is the bed, roll the dice.
Let's play. So what you
you in gold and rock a rollie with an ice bezel. It's gonna take a lot more to see my level. Where I'm at, your check, you better double that. And personally, your rap is where the trouble at. I'm a Benz bubble cat, leather with the wood grain and the platinum frame.
Screaming,
it's not a game.
Gleaming
from ear to ear, wrist to wrist, ringing chain.
Even
me and Jay-Z got it locked crazy. A Ferrari and Jaguar switching four lanes. Top down, screaming out money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rings with the window crack. Holla back, money ain't a thing.
Jigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam. Gleaming the hell with the price, but the money ain't a thing.
Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the bang. When you hit the brakes, new whips, money ain't a thing.
Yeah, I wanna drop the dust. Across the board, we burn it up. Drop a little paper, baby, toss it up. Slacking on your pimpin', turn it up. See, the money ain't a thing.
Oh, so that's Rockefeller, Labo. You know, all we do is rock, rock on, rock.
And money is a thing if you ain't got it. And if you got it, money's still a thing to hold on to it. That's the premise of tonight's episode. We just exposed the blueprint to get your black dollars about you. What you going to do about it? G. Lou, until next week, the almighty Shylights. Tomorrow night,
yes,
Gritty Craig, the founder, the extraordinaire executive behind the likes of AMG, Second to None, DJ Quick will be live on Flashback Fridays. Give them that phone in, call in number, sir.
914-803-4001. Once again, 914-803-4001. Tomorrow night it goes down. The G. Lou Show.
Also, go to GLouShow.com for any other updates, news, apparel, merchandise, videos, pics. Go to TweetCadillac.com for anything that you might want in association with my name, my brand. For show requests, email me at TweetCadillac@Yahoo. Hit the follow button for all my online listeners. Leave a comment. Show me that you enjoy this and each and every episode. Man, spread the love. We give it right back. Till next week, y'all.
Yes, sir.
We out like a light.
Peace.
Peace.